Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on the program cover the week of Monday, March 4th through Sunday, March 10th, 2024. The commentary for the month of March was written by Troy Mendez, Dean of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, a historic and vibrant downtown Phoenix congregation. He is also active on the boards of trustees at Virginia Theological Seminary and the General Theological Seminary. He is passionate about the church offering to all people a sense of belonging and the grace of new life given to us in Jesus Christ. The commentary for Monday, March 4th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Genesis, chapter 44, verse 19. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have you a father or a brother? Being the eldest of three boys, I can relate to many elements of the stories of Joseph and his brothers. Teasing, rivalry, competitiveness, and loving, tearful reconciliations. This ancient text reveals how family relationships can worsen as quickly as they can improve, or vice versa. Perhaps we are called to wonder if we would behave differently. Would we continue to poke and prod at each other as Joseph does here, or would we attempt to resolve this in a new way? Even when people in the Gospels laugh in disbelief at Jesus, he still brings healing and wholeness into every situation. I wonder if we could ever be as consistent as Jesus in leading our actions through a perspective of love. If we did, all sibling rivalry would cease. The result might permeate every other relationship around us, and the outcome of our actions might change the world. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 34. Then Judah stepped up to him and said, O my Lord, let your servant please speak a word in my Lord's ears, and do not be angry with your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a younger brother, the child of his old age. His brother is dead. He alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, Bring him down to me, so that I may set my eyes on him. We said to my Lord, The boy cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. Then you said to your servants, Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. When he went back to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And when our father said, Go again, buy us a little food, we said, We cannot go down. Only if our youngest brother goes with us will we go down. For we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, You know that my wife bore me two sons. One left me, and I said, Surely he has been torn to pieces, and I have never seen him since. If you take this one also from me, and harm comes to him, you will bring down my gray hairs in sorrow to Sheol. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father and the boy is not with us. Then, as his life is bound up in the boy's life, when he sees that boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant our father with sorrow to Sheol. For your servant became surety for the boy to my father, saying, If I do not bring him back to you, then I will bear the blame in the sight of my father all my life. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain as a slave to my lord in place of the boy, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the suffering that would come upon my father. And the moving forward question for this day is to imagine yourself as different characters in the stories of Joseph and his family. How would you respond in their situation? What lessons can you incorporate into your relationships today? Our commentary for Tuesday, March 5th, begins with the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 4. Then Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. Many students are applying for college admission this spring, and some might be heading far from home. Leaving home is appealing to some, as teens can feel misunderstood. However, with time, people search for their true home. This can lead to a sense of restlessness. St. Augustine felt this way when he wrote in his Confessions, Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. The presence of Jesus offers us a way to find solutions to the restlessness of our souls. Even though the people of Nazareth rejected Jesus, we know we always have a home with God. Jesus' struggles show us how God understands our moments of rejection by others, but they also invite us to claim our identity in another way, as beloved children of God. Accepting this offer fundamentally changes our perspective of daily acceptance or rejection. Our belovedness shines through every space, and the home we truly seek is found in the very heart of God. And now I'm going to read from this gospel passage, Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, March 5th, are you feeling restless? Pray to accept God's invitation to claim your belovedness. The commentary for Wednesday, March 6th begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. While Christians in the first century worried about food causing them spiritual harm, people in the 21st century stress that artificial or genetically modified ingredients will cause us physical harm. Food is a fundamental part of our lives, and we spend a great deal of time planning meals, looking at restaurant menus, and reading articles about nutrition. Anyone who needs to lower blood sugar, decrease cholesterol, or increase fiber intake is thinking about food. This increased attention to food can be helpful, but it can also be self-destructive. While we all need food to thrive, we know that anything has the potential to stand in our way to fullness of life with our community and with God. How then do we balance our need for food with our need for God and one another? Perhaps our gratitude for the food we consume could be the starting point. Through the practice of gratitude, food becomes a catalyst for our thankfulness, and we in turn focus more on God being active and alive among us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. These are verses 1 through 13. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs us up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by Him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fall. And the moving forward statement or suggestion for this Wednesday is commit to saying grace before every meal this week. And now we turn to the commentary for Thursday, March 7th, the day on which we celebrate Saints Perpetua and Felicity. It begins with a passage from Psalm 85, verse 7, "Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation." The appalling ordeals experienced by Perpetua and Felicity in the 3rd century reveal an imperial-sanctioned persecution of Christians that was relentless and without mercy. The women had already experienced hardship in life. Perpetua lived as a single mother, and Felicity was most likely her slave. The Christian faith that appealed to the women was one of self-sacrifice and hardship. The glory of the cross meant that everything in life must change at its core. Some of Perpetua and Felicity's practices were so rigid that church authorities questioned their extreme piety. However, the women knew exactly to whom they belonged. They knew with every fiber of their being that they were held in the loving hands of God, no matter what horrors awaited them. Their faith was not blind because they knew what had happened to those who opposed the Romans. Nevertheless, the women persisted in their faith. And now I'm going to read the entire Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet righteousness and peace, will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, how can our faith shape our character so that no matter the earthly outcome, we commit to pursuing the peace and love that comes from Jesus, our true salvation? And now the commentary for Friday, March 8th, it begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable garland, but we an imperishable one. Major League Baseball spring training is in full swing in warmer parts of the United States. The teams play exhibition games to evaluate the abilities of each player and the various combinations on the field. Ultimately, the team's preparation for a winning season begins at some point in spring training. These patterns of preparation for victory begin once again every year. Practicing the Christian faith calls us into patterns of prayer and spiritual practices, but our patterns don't culminate with an annual goal of winning a prize. Instead, these practices are built upon year after year with the hope of a deeper connection to God's presence. St. Paul reminds us that self-control is important to attain the goals we want for ourselves in life, but he also invites us to consider setting goals for ourselves that are timeless. When we follow St. Paul's instructions, the fullness of our life's journey with Christ begins to be revealed to us in ways that we never imagined. And now I'm going to read this full passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 27. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might be all means, save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. And the moving forward question for this day is, what other lessons can be drawn from baseball or any other sport? The commentary for Saturday, March 9th is attributed to the feast day of St. Gregory of Nyssa. It begins with the passage from Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. After experiencing several deaths in his immediate family, Gregory of Nyssa was hungry for the presence of the living God. Initially, though, Gregory, who lived from 335 to 395 in the Common Era, after the birth of Jesus, kept his faith at a distance, holding it in tension with the cares and occupations of the world. Through his tragedies, Gregory discerned that the God of his salvation was one in whom he could confide. In his solitude, he began redeveloping a faith that would sustain him for the rest of his life. Our society is often unkind to our faith. Many people may not identify with or respect our spiritual journey. Often the faith of our childhood needs to be reformed so that it may grow and mature. Sometimes tragic events in our lives prompt this introspection. But that isn't always the case. God continues to extend a realm of rest and renewal to us, even when we aren't aware. If God is our refuge, how can we return over and over to the place that gives us life, to the place that restores our soul? And now I'm going to read from the epistle for this Saturday, March 9th. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, do you keep your faith at a distance? What is stopping you from a wholehearted relationship with God? Now, as we near the end of the program and the end of the week, we turn to Sunday, March 10th, the fourth Sunday of Lent. It begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." Often the church portrays Lent as a time when we are supposed to do more for God. Yet the reality is that Lent asks us to stop and see what God is doing for us in our lives. A few years ago, I visited the Iona community in Scotland. At the beginning of each week, new residents draw cards that give them a work assignment for their stay. The wardens of the community explain the experience of work to newcomers by saying, "In every day of our lives here, we devote at least an hour of our day to work. We do this work as an offering to God. We do this work out of full recognition that during the other 23 hours of the day, God is working on our behalf." Most of what fulfills us in life ultimately comes from God's abundant love. It's a gift. God works in tireless ways for us. Our response is to let God's grace fill every part of us. In that way, we encounter true and everlasting salvation. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, this fourth Sunday of Lent: what is God doing in your life? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.